You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. Coming up, we'll talk with chef and PBS TV show host Patty Heenich about cooking with Mexican ingredients. First, cars were becoming more and more common on American roads a little over a century ago, with mass market automobiles getting more and more affordable for working Americans. As the country embraced this new way to get around, some people were opposed to the idea of women getting behind the wheel. Our next guest tells the story of women in the early days of the automobile and the pioneers who overcame that initial resistance to drive, race, sell, and make cars. Sue Macy is with us. Her newest book is Motor Girls, How Women Took the Wheel and Drove Boldly into the 20th Century. Sue, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
Well, you write, Sue, that in the early days of the auto, there was a lot of resistance to the idea of women driving. Why was that?
Well, it came in from different fronts. A lot of men and some women even had something to say about that. Driving, especially a gasoline-powered car, was a very dirty and strenuous business. In order to start the car, you had to crank the front. There was a crank in the front, and that crank could recoil, could push you back into the dirt or mud. A lot of men had their arms broken, so some people were worried that women didn't have the physical strength to deal with the automobile. Others felt that it was such a dirty business. Cars were not closed at that time. So driving, first you had to protect your clothing with outer clothing like dusters and hoods and goggles. But even that, the dirt would seep through, and they kind of felt it was not in keeping with the feminine ideal that some people felt women were supposed to uphold. And then there was the issue of nervousness. I have a quote from a woman who wrote in 1914 that woman was not created to exert great physical strength nor to stand even comparatively light strains over long periods of time. Like, they were worried that women would become nervous if they were approaching a dangerous situation, an accident, and they wouldn't be able to handle it. Fortunately, those people did not dominate over that period of time, and women who saw the appeal of driving embraced it despite these negative thoughts.
Yeah, talk about the women who did start driving, the everyday women. How did cars start to change their lives?
Well, starting in the beginning, those who drove were of the wealthier classes, because cars until 1908, when the Model T first rolled off the assembly line, cars were rather expensive. So the beginning women who drove were wealthier, but they did it for the challenge of driving. And in 1909, Alice Ramsey from my state of New Jersey was the first woman to drive across the country, and she drove a Maxwell car. She was sponsored by the Maxwell Automobile Company, and they made all the parts available at their dealerships across the country, and she needed a lot of parts because most of the roads were not paved. So she needed 11 tire changes. She broke an axle. There were a bunch of different problems that she came across, and she had to do all the driving herself, and she also had to change all the or fix all the problems herself. So she was an amazing role model, I think, for intrepid girls and women everywhere. And so she was one of the early women that I portrayed. There was also Joan Newton Cuneo, who was the first well-known automobile racer in the country, and she started racing in 1905, and she did reliability races, which were races that were meant to show the reliability of different automobile makes, and those were long distance races over regular, usually unpaved roads that lasted hundreds or even 1,000 miles.
Wow.
She also,
and these are not fast cars at the time.
No, it was a trial. She could have used a nice SUV, I think. But also racing in the beginning, there were no automobile race tracks. People used to race on beaches because I guess they were smooth. but then they started using horse race tracks, and then a couple of automobile tracks were built. But she, you know, she did those kinds of races. She did hill trials, which is you drive up a hilly path for a long distance for speed, and she was quite amazing. And at one point she was racing on a track, and Barney Oldfield, who was the first famous male automobile racer in the country, he was there, and he asked if he could sit in while she was doing her training runs. And she was going so fast, finally he just screamed out, "Can you slow down?"
That's impressive. You're driving too fast for Barney Oldfield. Yeah.
Right, exactly, exactly. And we actually have a picture of his wife dropping the checkered flag at a race, which was interesting. But, you know, I also talk about women who used the automobile for the suffrage fight. There were several cross-country trips that women undertook, and also trips within a state. I focus on Illinois in particular, where they use the automobile to spread the word about rallies, to hand out leaflets, and to get signatures on petitions. The trip that I talk about from San Francisco to see President Wilson in Washington started with these Western women, many of whom had the vote in their states, because the Western states gave state suffrage earlier than the national. But they wanted to spread suffrage across the country. So they signed a petition that had thousands of names, and these three women drove across the country, and they gathered more signatures as they went, and they had rallies as they went, and they actually did deliver it to Woodrow Wilson, who was not quite ready to accept suffrage, but he did give them an audience.
Talking to Sue Macy, her new book is Motor Girls, How Women Took the Wheel and Drove Boldly into the 20th Century. You do tell a lot of stories in the book. I wanted to talk about the woman we have to thank for windshield wipers, Mary Anderson.
Yeah.
Her one, as I understood it, her one and only patent.
Right. Mary Anderson, she was not an inventor until she invented the windshield wiper. She actually was she owned an apartment building in Alabama with her mother, but she came to New York and took a bus and saw the driver have to reach around the windshield. I think it was snowing, and he was wiping by hand as he drove to clear the windshield. And she thought, there's got to be a better way. And she went home and started experimenting with a wiper that would, I think it was attached at the top, and it swung in front of the driver's windshield. And she did get a patent, but it was never manufactured. Someone about 10 years later started manufacturing windshield wipers based on a different patent, but she was there first.
And I wanted to talk to you. You have a big section about women driving in wartime during World War I. Can you tell some of that story?
That changed everything. And I had been very aware of women driving ambulances in World War II and doing other driving, but the same thing happened in World War I. Even before the United States entered the war, there were American women who volunteered to go overseas with their cars and drive for the war effort, for the Allied effort, and some of them became ambulance drivers. Even Gertrude Stein, who was in France, learned to drive. She didn't even drive at this point. She learned to drive, and she had her cousin buy a Model T and ship it over, and she drove it around France, and whenever she saw soldiers walking on the road, she would stop and give them a ride. And apparently she was not such a good driver, but she didn't get into harm's way. But on the home front, once the U.S. entered the war in 1917, this organization was started by the government called the Women's Motor Corps, And that recruited women, all volunteers, to as civilians, to drive supplies to bases within the United States, to pick up injured soldiers at ports and drive them to hospitals, to take the soldiers out for recreation when they were recuperating. They took them to church. They took them to baseball games. And they really... It was a necessity to have somebody driving. There weren't that many men, and lo and behold, it turned out women were just fine as drivers and were depended on for the war. And also at the end of the war, when the influenza epidemic, the pandemic, was hitting the U.S. so hard, these women volunteers were the ones who drove people to the hospital. They risked their own health by helping people out who were ill. They would cook them meals. They even brought bodies to mortuaries. So they were really amazing. And also did not get paid. I mean, it's amazing to me that they used their own cars, they volunteered, and they risked their lives without a second thought.
And briefly, can you tell us a little bit about one of those women, Alelia Walker, an African-American woman in the Colored Women's Motor Corps?
Yes, there was one branch of the Motor Corps that was called the Colored Women's Motor Corps, and it was in New York City. And Alelia Walker was Madam C.J. Walker's daughter, and Madam C.J. Walker was the first female African-American self-made millionaire. She had a hair care and cosmetic empire, and Alelia was her daughter. She was actually a famous hostess in the Harlem Renaissance, so people, Langston Hughes and others, wrote about her. But during the war, she volunteered, and that group specifically dealt with the African-American soldiers who were coming back from overseas, and they were written up in local newspapers, and I think there were 40 women in this one section. But since things were segregated back then, they developed this special group of the Women's Motor Corps.
We'll leave it there, Sue. Thanks so much for sharing these stories with us today.
Sure, it was a pleasure.
That's Sue Macy, author of Motor Girls, How Women Took the Wheel and Drove Boldly into the 20th Century. Coming up after the news, Patty Heenitz joins us to talk about cooking with Mexican ingredients on this Food Friday. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.